The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Jenna Ellis Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There has never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
As a constitutional law attorney, former senior legal advisor and personal counsel to President Donald J. Trump, Jenna Ellis believes in the rule of law and the importance of integrity in our elections. And she's ready to tackle the big cultural and legal issues facing America. This is the Jenna Ellis Show. Here is your host, Jenna Ellis.
In November of 2020, the Democrats and their allies intentionally changed and ignored state law in the administration of the election. They were planning to pull off the greatest scheme, worse than Watergate. They didn't think we would catch them, but we did. Find out more details about what happened, how they did it, in the new documentary film called 2000 Mules, directed and narrated by renowned filmmaker and my friend, Dinesh D'Souza, and executive produced by the Salem Media Group. This is also with research from TrueTheVote.org. 2000 Mules tells the story of the ones who tried to hijack a presidential election. You'll see the actual video surveillance tapes. You'll see how their cell phones were tracked to box after box as they got paid to carry out this illegal scheme. Watch the movie and decide the truth for yourself. Attend a limited release premiere of 2000 Mules on May 2nd or May 4th. Check your local listings and get your tickets today at 2000mules.com. That's the number 2000mules.com. Welcome, friends, to another episode of the Jenna Ellis Show. I'm Jenna Ellis, and there are so many cultural issues that we have talked about in terms of politics, in terms of what's going on in the moral realm of not only American society, but it seems like across the world. And so as we've had these discussions about freedom of speech and why it's so incredibly important to continue speaking truth, not just in the public square, but also in church, there was a tweet that I came across that I thought expressed this very well, and it's from Grant Castleberry, who is the senior pastor of Capital Community Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, and here's what it reads. He says, "The suppression of the knowledge of God is never an intellectual issue. It is always a moral issue. The fool says that they do not believe in God because they despise God, so they pretend like God does not exist. Do that long enough, and you will even fool yourself." So I thought, what better way to expand on this conversation and talk about this in the context of our culture today than to have the pastor on himself. So Grant, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's great to be here. And I just want to say I appreciate you. I appreciate your defense of Grace Community Church and John MacArthur, helping them stay open. So it's good to finally talk in person or through this medium of this interview.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. And, you know, Pastor MacArthur, actually, in the context of this whole conversation, I heard him and actually first met him a while back. It was probably 6 or 7 years ago when he spoke at the Western Conservative Summit, and he gave this amazing message about Romans 1, and I hadn't really put in context how the suppression of the knowledge of God is actively working in our culture, and how he described the levels of how society sinks when we don't just reject God and ignore him passively, but actively. And so he's been such a wonderful pastor, and of course, you know, now someone who he and his wife are very dear friends. But in this context, Grant, you know, what prompted you to tweet this and to give this perspective about our culture today?
I'm trying to remember what prompted the tweet. You know, I'm always reading scripture. You know what? I probably had just read Romans 14:1, which begins, "The fool says in his heart that there is no God." And then David goes on to describe the fool. And I think what's interesting is he describes the fool in moral categories. You know, we think, okay, somebody's a fool, somebody's ignorant, somebody's stupid, somebody is intellectually challenged. But the way that the Bible describes a fool is somebody who rejects the knowledge that they have of God. And that leads to more debased lifestyle, less clear thinking, all those things. And I think, you know, Paul picks up on this in Romans 1, which is what you're referencing. And what Paul says about the knowledge of God is really insightful and helpful for us. And what he says is that the knowledge of God is clearly known or clearly perceived by everybody. Everybody has an innate knowledge of God. And we have that two ways. We have that both externally and internally. So externally, you look out and Paul says, you see the things that God has made. And those things point to the reality of God. And by that, I think he's referring to simply cosmology, the fact of cause and effect. You look out and you see, wow, things really do exist. There must be a creator because every effect must have a cause. That's logical. And you can't just have an endless string of an infinite string of caused events. There has to be something at the end, right? That's logical. And that's what Paul's getting at. Or you can look at, for example, design and the teleological argument, the fact that there's a designer. So externally, it's clear that there is a creator. But then there's also the internal element. And Paul mentions this actually in Romans chapter 2, that our conscience testifies to the reality that there's a God because God has written his law in our hearts. And the fact that there's a law in our heart implies the reality of a lawgiver who put that law there. And so Paul argues that the knowledge of God is clearly perceived. It every single person has it. The problem is that people suppress that knowledge. And the way that Paul describes what happens in Romans chapter 1 is that God, if you suppress the reality of God, that God gives you up to that suppression. And God takes his hand off in terms of his common grace, his preservation, and he lets you go your own way. And so you read Romans 1, you go down that path of denying God and the knowledge that God gives you. God gives you up. And what I think is sobering and scary, quite frankly, is Paul says that the wrath of God is revealed in a present tense reality. We think of the wrath of God as a future, okay, the judgment, the flames of hell, and all those things. But Paul says that the wrath of God is revealed, presently speaking, in how you see people being given over to idolatry, foolish acts. He lists explicitly the exchange of a woman's natural desire for a man and a man for a woman, so homosexuality. He talks about our foolish hearts being darkened even more. And so really it's this chain of darkness that God just says, okay, you want to go down that path? I'm going to let you go down that path. And that's the wrath of God presently being revealed. And I think what's scary for us is that we're seeing that in our culture. We're seeing our culture go down that path of denying God. And it's like God is just giving us up to our own futility.
So yeah, I think that's really wise how you describe this and how every person who is a human being and has the elements of rationality and logic can look at the world around them and see and follow that logical train of thought to say that there has to be a great or first cause. And I would capitalize that, meaning that there has to be someone who is outside of time and space and limits of our human experience, And it has to be someone that is an intelligent, rational, conscious being, which is the label that we put for God. And so then it just becomes a matter of how do we then identify who that is? And that, as you mentioned, the cosmological argument and how C.S. Lewis put it is that the Christian worldview is the best explanation for the reality to which we're presented. And so from an intellectual level, that makes sense. And so when we're looking at why people suppress that knowledge of truth and suppress the logic and are given over ultimately to their base level sin, what you described as the difference between an intellectual versus a moral one, is this because people are so given to sin that they suppress that knowledge? Or what is that contrast that says we're going to suppress our understanding and the truth of the reality to which we're presented, and ultimately this becomes a question of a moral argument?
Well, I want to add that the revelation that God gives is unmistakably clear. And Paul says it's clearly perceived. So the issue is not in what is revealed in nature, what's revealed in our conscience. The issue is our own sin. And the way that Paul goes on to explain this in Romans chapter 5 is he says that our first parent, Adam, sinned. And because of that, in him, we all sinned. And we all inherit a sin nature. And this sin nature, the reformers described, means that we're totally depraved. It means that we naturally aren't friends of God. We're naturally not bent towards obeying God. You don't have to teach a child how to lie or steal. They know that from the moment they're born. You have to teach them how to tell the truth. You have to teach them how to share. Naturally, by birth, we're inclined to disobey God. So Paul says in Romans 3:10 that there's no one who does good, no, not one, quoting a psalm. So the natural bent of mankind is not good, but towards evil. And so inside of us, in our soul, there's the desire to rebel against God. And of course, the more we do that, the more that we go into that darkness. And what Paul is going to describe in Romans is that it takes grace in order to pull us out of that darkness, that God has to intervene in our life and to reveal himself through the scriptures to us. Paul says in Romans 10 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. So it's the word of God that must come and intercept us, if you will. Just think of the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road, breathing threats against the church. It was the Lord Jesus Christ and his word that intercepted him. And that really that's a picture of every Christian life, is that God intercepts you with his word and really pulls you out of that muck and mire and puts you on the path to theological knowledge. But again, it's not that the path was obscured. It's that we didn't want to be on the path.
And so for people who would say, well, what about the people in some of these third world countries who've never actually heard the expression of the gospel or the word of truth, and they, it's a common pushback to say, well, it would be unfair to then have them punished for their sin because they haven't heard specifically the gospel message, and so maybe they're not suppressing that intellectual knowledge of the specific revelation. It's more of the general knowledge. How do we contrast that and compare that to saying, well, we have to obviously go out and teach the gospel to the world?
Yeah, so Paul says, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So not only is every person fallen in Adam, born with a sin nature, but every person, from the moment that they're able to make moral, intellectual decisions, commits actual sin against God. And I think we need to remember what sin is. Sin is an archery term in the ancient world that simply means missing the mark, but it means missing the mark of God's holiness and God's righteousness and God's standard. R.C. Sproul once said that sin is cosmic treason against God. So we must remember that when we sin, it's a serious thing. It's not that the native that's out in Papua New Guinea doesn't have the knowledge of God. They do. They've suppressed it, and they've broken God's law, and so they stand condemned outside of the gospel. And that's the urgency, the urgent need to bring the gospel to these people. If I didn't think that people were going to hell because they hadn't heard the gospel and believed the gospel, what's the need to mobilize our missions organizations and send missionaries? You know, we have to go and reach. Yeah.
Well, then it just becomes like this this glorified TED talk or life coaching to, you know, go out and live your best life. And that's what here in America, it seems like a lot of churches have become, is instead of that urgency of saying submit your life to Christ, it's saying go out and live your best life and figure out what works for you and your truth versus his truth. So for the church in America and for Christians today, what is the urgency that you see in the suppression of that intellectual knowledge of God and this being a very compelling moral issue that really everyone needs to pay attention to?
Yeah, when I look at the apostles in the book of Acts, I look at what their concerns were. And I think it's interesting that their chief concern wasn't to change society or the culture. Their chief concern was to win souls. You look at Peter, you look at James, you look at Paul. They were concerned with the transcendent realities of the kingdom of Christ. They were concerned with the fact that people would stand in judgment. I think of Peter in Cornelius's house, and he talks about that Jesus commanded them to preach to the people and testify that someone was coming to judge the living and the dead. That's what Peter says. He says, so therefore you need to repent and believe. Paul, the same way, Mars Hill in Acts 17, he says, look, you need to know that God has appointed a man by which he will judge every single person, and he has been raised from the dead, and you need to believe in him. So they were chiefly concerned with those transcendent realities. And to your point, I think the American church, so much caught up in the social justice issues of the day, and you know, there's so many background voices to that issue, but we have so lost sight of the transcendent realities that really matter, that heaven is real,
yeah.
Hell is real, that God is holy, and that he's given us a gospel to proclaim. And that's what I'm trying to keep my head down and do and train people to do.
Yeah, and that's such an important point, because when we look at the people who are very well-meaning and want to be culture changers and culture warriors, and we often focus and emphasize politics and culture over those transcendent truths, then we're really losing sight of what this is all about. Because even if we had the best possible conservative environment of politics and culture, that doesn't mean then that everyone has a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we can go, you know, too far to say that culture doesn't matter at all, because we still have to have that great environment to be able to exercise religious liberty, to be able to go out and preach the gospel, and to be able to have these conversations together about truth and about the gospel. So of course, politics and culture matter, but they themselves aren't the end goal. And I think that's a really wise thing for Christians in particular to recognize and to keep at the fore, that there is a higher transcendent meaning and reason, ultimately, that we're doing all of these fights, and we have to keep focused on winning souls, as you said. And so how can people who are so concerned about what's going on in culture and might push back and say, well, wait a minute, I mean, look at what's going on in Florida with, you know, teaching and indoctrinating these kids at such an early age with all of this, you know, gross, disgusting sexual orientation, gender identity nonsense. Don't we have to fight that too? What would be your response to people who are more concerned and emphasize culture over these transcendent, eternal mindsets.
Well, now these issues that you're talking about, for example, the transgender thing in Florida and the grooming bill, you know, or I shouldn't say the grooming bill, the bill that was passed to prevent the grooming.
The parental rights and education.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. These issues, you know, it used to be that you could stay out of politics as a pastor, as a minister of the gospel, because 50 years ago, most parties held to the same moral standards in terms of life, sexuality, marriage, all those things. So there's a sense where these issues are pushing themselves into the life of the church, and they're not just political issues, they're moral issues. They're issues that the Bible addresses. They're ethical issues, right? Jesus said, Matthew 19, that a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So Jesus defines marriage between a man and a woman. That's not strictly a political issue. That's a moral issue. That's a spiritual issue. So we, as pastors and church men and women, have to address those things. But just because I get somebody to agree that abortion's wrong, that marriage is between a man and a woman, that the family is the primary institution for which to raise children, that doesn't mean that they're saved. Jesus came to save people. And just because somebody agrees with us on so many of the conservative issues doesn't get them into the kingdom of God. And so I'm glad that people understand, you know, the natural law. I'm thankful for Jews like Ben Shapiro that affirm things that I affirm culturally. But as a minister of the gospel, I'm here to try to win people to Christ, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9. So I want them to understand their need of Christ, where they stand condemned in their sin, and that Christ and his substitution on the cross is the only way by which they can enter into peace with God and be saved.
Yeah. And we all need to take up that mantle as Christians, because the Great Commission is for all of us, not just for people who are pastors like you that do this as your primary vocation, which is, of course, needed and necessary and is part of the church structure that God has given us in Scripture. But we all need to take up that mantle and recognize that once we are Christians and we are saved, proclaiming the good news of Christ and being missionaries of the gospel, advocates and ambassadors of the gospel, we all need to be proclaiming this truth and having that the most urgent part of our day. And so if we look at the cultural issues, and we look at being ambassadors for, you know, different brands, or there's so many, I know of my listeners who listen to this show who are ambassadors for various conservative organizations, for example, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we need to also look at our identity first and foremost as being in Christ and being ambassadors for his kingdom, and to make sure that we are always first and foremost fulfilling the Great Commission. So I think that's a wonderful admonishment to conservatives who are Christians, that we need to be Christians first, conservatives because we're Christians.
That's right.
And so have those values-based principles. But for people who might be listening to this who are conservatives and they agree with that, but they know that they haven't given over their life to the Lord and they haven't yet accepted the gospel as true, I think this is a huge wake-up call to say, why are your principles conservative? And you may have, you know, well, that's the free marketplace of ideas, or capitalism is the best form of economy, or, you know, all of those things that, sure, great, but ultimately are not going to save you, are not salvific issues. And so for people who are, just in the last few minutes I have with you here, Pastor Grant, for people who are listening to this and are saying, that makes a lot of sense, where can they start? And I would suggest, of course, reading Romans. That's one of the best explanations of the gospel in all of Scripture. But where can people start to say, I want to learn more about the knowledge and grow in the grace of and knowledge of the Lord, and because I understand that this is a moral issue, not just an intellectual one?
Yeah. I just preached a series of sermons at Capital Community Church called Faith That Saves. I did four sermons on what saving faith is in Scripture, and those are on our website, capitalcommunitychurch.com. So you can just go there and look at Faith That Saves. Like you said, reading the book of Romans is so helpful. Reading a gospel like Mark or John is also so good because it gets you right to Christ. And John so often explains what saving faith is throughout his gospel. He says in John 20:31, these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So it really comes down to the fact of understanding who Jesus is. And like you just said, trusting in him, believing in him that he is the Son of God, that his sacrifice atoned for your sin, and that he really did rise from the dead, a literal physical resurrection, which, by the way, is the guarantee that on the last day, our bodies will be resurrected from the dead. So there's an end game here, right? That we're looking forward to the consummation of history, that Christians really are on the right side of history, contrary to what our progressive friends say, because we know how it ends, and it ends with the Lord Jesus Christ and every knee and on heaven and earth and every tongue confessing that he is Lord.
Amen. And this is all about winning souls, not just winning political victories. And that's such a timely, timely message. So, Grant Castleberry, thank you so much for joining me. And where can people follow you on Twitter? And also, you mentioned your church website, but just tell us one more time.
So, you can follow me on Twitter, just at GR Castleberry is my handle. And our church website is capitalcommunitychurch.com. If you're in the Raleigh-Durham area, we would love to see you.
Great. Well, I look forward to many more tweets, and I followed you because of that one, because I thought this is so well expressed, and I really appreciate your time today and look forward to talking with you soon.
Hey, thank you for having me on the show. So appreciate you. Keep on.
Legacy Precious Metals is the company that I trust to give you good and patient counsel for investing in your retirement. The Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, not only do your expenses go up, but the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And we are already seeing record inflation. That's the last thing that we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you may be vulnerable. So gold is one of the very best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your own gold. It's real, it's physical, and it's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com, where you can download the free investor's guide. You can also go to my Facebook page, Jenna Ellis. I am a public figure on Facebook. So go to Legacy Precious Metals at legacypminvestments.com or call 866-528-1903.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.